Lovely. Well, thank you. Can I just say thank you so much, Emmanuel, for letting us come and join you this morning. It's been such a blessing, hasn't it? And actually, as those of you who live in Swanage will know, and are part of the church in Swanage, because there's only one church in Swanage, you'll know that this is just a kind of symptom, really, of what God has been doing over the last, well, 2 or 3 or 4 years, isn't it? Bringing the different parts of the church, different arms of the church, if you like, together in an extraordinary and wonderful way. Well, I was sitting at my desk and I was wondering what God might want me to say at this point. And I was thinking about all of you and I was thinking of what you might be thinking about. And I thought to myself, well, some of us here are kind of fully signed up to this Christian stuff. And you maybe have seen immersion baptism before. Might even remind you of your own baptism. All this might be very familiar, very familiar. But as some of us here, you might be pretty regular attender at church. Maybe you've never seen an immersion baptism before. It might be quite unusual for you. You might go to churches where baptism like this is not that usual. You might be intrigued. You might be a bit intrigued. Some of us here, though, for whom this is all completely new, and you think, what on earth is this? What's going on here? You know, ordinary people getting into a bar fully clothed. You know, what have these guys been smoking? It's all a bit weird, isn't it? And I think for you, you might think, this is weird. Okay? So, some people might think it's familiar. Some people might be intrigued. Some people might think it's a bit weird. So I thought, well, the only thing to do is try and answer a question. And these guys have all done a course called an Alpha course, which Mark talked about. And the good thing about Alpha, there you go, it's all about questions. That's why there's a big question mark there. And it's all about seeking answers to the deep questions of life. And as you heard, there's an Alpha course coming up. Tell you a bit more about that in a minute. But I thought, if we're thinking about Jesus, I thought I'd try and answer a question. And here's the question. Can I make this work? Yeah, what did Jesus come to do? What did Jesus come to do? Probably most of us here know quite a lot about his life, his death, his resurrection. But if you had to give a single answer, what is the point of it all? What did Jesus really come to do? And I've only got a few minutes, and it's a massive question, so I thought I'd tell you a story. And I thought I'd tell you a story featuring my favourite pastime. Those of you who know me well will know my favourite pastime. What is my favourite pastime? Skiing! Skiing! Yeah, I've just come back from 3 amazing days, actually, in skiing in Andorra. And I firmly believe that God must be a skier, because that's why he put the mountains there. And I want to tell you about one of my favourite mountains. There you go. That's one of my favourite mountains. Anybody guess which one that is? It's not the Matterhorn, no? No, it's Mont Blanc. It's Mont Blanc. It's 4,810 metres high, nearly 16,000 feet. It's the highest mountain in Western Europe. And it's dangerous. It's dangerous. One of the reasons I love skiing is it's just a little bit risky. And I used to say to my mum, who's now gone to be with Jesus, but she always thought I was totally reckless going skiing. And she also thought I was absolutely insane allowing her beloved grandchildren to go skiing. And I used to say to her in very comforting terms, I said, look, mum, you have to understand the good thing about skiing is there is just the possibility you might just possibly die. Which is true. And it's the risk that's fun. You know, and I want to tell you about a famous ski run. And then I want to tell you about a story I heard about an amazing mountain rescue. And then you might find that this has got something to talk to us about what Jesus did and what he really came to do. And this is the Vallée Blanche, the Vallée Blanche, the White Valley. It's the longest ski run in Western Europe. It's in the shadow of Mont Blanc near a place called Chamonix in France. It's 20 kilometres long, and in that 20 kilometres, you take a vertical descent of 2,700 metres. And essentially, you're skiing on the Mont Blanc glacier on virgin snow. It's called ski off piste, okay? And it's a glorious sensation, stupendous scenery. Now, I'm not the world's greatest skier, but actually, I can ski a bit, and this is, if you're a skier, this is one of the things you have to do before you die. And the way, and it may be, in fact, one of the ways in which you do die, because 40% of the fatalities in the Alps happen in this place. So what you have to do is you have to go down with a group, with a guide, and you have to ski in the tracks of the guide. And when I went down the Vallée Blanche, at one point I thought, okay, well, I'll just, there's some lovely snow over there, I'll just kind of ski over there. But I decided not to do that. I decided to stay in the guide's tracks because actually, just a few yards on, there was a whacking great crevasse that I would have gone down. And when you go down, you have to wear climbing belts and carabiners, if you know what I'm talking about, in case you go down the crevasse so they could haul you out, all right? But the scariest, it's a bit scary, but it's amazing. But the scariest bit is at the top of the mountain. I don't know if you can just see that there. There we are. Now, you've got this ridge. Can you see those people climbing down that ridge? You exit an ice tunnel. You go onto that ridge. It's called the Arête. And there's a 40-degree pitch on both sides. Sometimes there's a little rope to help you. Like that, sometimes there isn't a little rope to help you, but you'll grope to, when you go down the Arête, you're roped together and you, and the guide wears crampons. So if anybody falls off, you can haul them back. But seriously scary, as you can see. Now, I didn't show this to my mum after I did it, but supposing somebody had fallen off, I want to tell you a story about a skiing accident. And I'm not sure if it happened on this particular Arête, but it was very similar kind of terrain. And it was, there we go, there's the Arête again. So look, it was, there we are, we're on the Arête. And there was a group of people going down it, like those people. And one of them, I just ringed him there, was a little boy. And somehow he got ahead of his family. Everything seemed okay. And then suddenly, he slipped over. And let me tell you, I was talking to Chris actually just before. Where's Chris? There's Chris. I was talking to Chris just before the service. And I remember once skiing in a place called Courchevel. And I slipped over at the top of a long couloir. It's called the Grand Couloir. And I slid 250 meters. I was just standing stationary and I fell. Because what happens when you fall over at that kind of height, when you start to slide, then unless somebody stops you, you just keep sliding. And what happened when this kid slipped over, he started to slide down the precipice faster and faster. And all the while, trying hopelessly to stop the slide, while the onlookers on the top stood and watched with horror. All except one. That guy. That guy was the young lad's father. And he was watching his son slide down the precipice to certain death. So he didn't hesitate. He took his life in his hands. He dived over the edge. And he started. There we go. He started to move down diagonally across the slide. Aiming for a point beneath the boy. Hoping that they would meet. And to try and stop the fall. And by a miracle, he got there ahead of him, dug his snow boots in, and as the boy came down, he stopped the slide. And then slowly, they inched their way to the top of the precipice to safety. And that is a picture of what Jesus did for you and me. Look, this is the score. The Bible says that, there we are, Father and Son. Isn't that lovely? Now, the Bible says the world didn't get here by accident. It was made by an amazing creator God. How he made it is another story, but whatever happens, it got here. God was the creative Jesus, genius. And God, and the Bible also says, if you want to see the pinnacle of God's creation, don't go to Mont Blanc and the Alps. Look around you. Look around you. It's us. Human beings, we are the pinnacle of God's creative genius. Okay? And we've been made in the image of God. If you want to know what God is like, just look around at people. When I get to meet God face to face, he's not going to look like an alien or a reptile or something weird. He's going to be recognizably human. He's going to look like me because I've been made to look like him. Okay? And we've been made for a purpose. The Bible says that we've been made to have a relationship with God and with one another. Isn't that extraordinary? The God of the universe wants me and you to be his friends. How amazing is that? And then we mess it up. We really mess it up. Have you ever had a friendship and you've messed it up? You've had a really good friend and you said something or you've done something which really spoils the relationship and you break the friendship? It just shatters. Well, the Bible says we do that in our relationship with God. And it happens when we do bad stuff. Okay, there's an old-fashioned word in the Bible for that. The word is sin. But it doesn't matter what you call it. You know what I'm talking about. And it's serious bad news. And not only have Danny and Ben and Kevin done bad stuff in their lives. I've done bad stuff. Mark has done bad stuff. We've all done bad stuff in our lives. And, you know, the Bible says that sin is a bit like falling over the top of a mountain. You know, it's easy to make one small slip, like that lad, isn't it? Like I did. But suddenly the small sins turn into bigger ones. And then bigger and bigger. And before you know where you are, you're sliding down this slippery slope. And there's destruction thousands of meters below. And the Bible's really clear. The Bible says we deserve to be punished for the wrong things that we do. And the Bible also says the result of that is death. Not just physical death, because that comes to us all, doesn't it? But spiritual death. That means breaking our relationship with God. And unless somebody can rescue me, unless somebody can leap down the precipice and stop me falling to my death, I'm done for. And that is what Jesus did. Like the father in the story I told you, that's what Jesus did, except for one extraordinary detail. Because in the story, remember, the father got to the bottom, rescued the boy, and they both climbed to the top. They were both safe. But what happened to Jesus? He didn't make it. He didn't make it. When he died on Good Friday, when he voluntarily offered his life, he didn't make it. When he was dead, he was dead. He was dead so that I wouldn't need to be punished for the sins I commit. And how do I know it's true? How do I know what he says about his own death was true? Because something else happened. In advance, he not only said he was going to lay down his life as a voluntary act, he said he was going to take it up again. So when he was raised from death on the first Easter Sunday, that meant I could know new life as well. And you know, we can know this experience for ourselves in an extraordinary way. You know, these guys have all known, come to know Jesus in an extraordinary way. And you can know forgiveness, and you can know what it's like to die to your old life. That's what going down into the waters of baptism is about. And then rising to a new life when you come up clean and fresh. And I might have loads of questions. I know Kevin has got loads of questions. That's why I've got him a book with loads of answers in. But I know that next week we'll meet together. There's going to be another load of questions. All right. I know that. OK, there's nothing wrong with questions. You don't need to put your brains in a bucket of water to become a Christian. You know, you don't have to be anti-intellectual. It's perfectly legitimate to ask questions. I've still got loads of questions. But here's an answer to the question I posed. What did Jesus come to do? Do you know what his own answer to that question was? It's in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 19. To seek and save the lost. That's you and me. Without Jesus, we're lost. We're lost. And we've heard from Danny and Ben and Kevin that we can then experience a totally new quality of life when Jesus turns up. It's totally different. It's totally fresh. It's totally new. And the Bible says, and my experience, and certainly Kevin described it to you too, when you come and give your life to Jesus, when you become a Christian, something amazing happens. God's Holy Spirit comes and lives inside you. The God of the universe comes and takes up residence inside, which is extraordinary. And then, when tough things happen in life, and they all happen to all of us, you know, I've just spent quite a lot of the last 12 hours or so with a lady who's dying. But Jesus is there walking it through with her. Okay? And God walks through life with us. And also, he walks through death with us too. Because he's promised after death, there's amazing new life. And it's just the most amazing experience. Trust me, it's even better than skiing. It's freedom. It's freedom. Well, you might be saying, that sounds great. I've still got lots of questions though. What do I do? Well, the first thing I'd really advise you to do, if you've got questions, is do an Alpha course. Okay, there's one starting here on the 3rd of February. Just contact Mark and he'll put you in contact with the right people and you come along to that. It's really great. You come along, you get fed, you get puddings or you get a meal. And then what happens is you get a talk and then you get to discuss. You can ask any question you like. There's no question which is off limits. That's during the day. If you want to do it in the evening, just after Easter at All Saints, we're going to be doing another Alpha course. So have a word with me or Mark at the end of the service if you'd like to do an Alpha course. But look, I want us to pray because you don't have to wait to an Alpha course. You can actually make a relationship with Jesus right now. All you've got to do is speak to him. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to pray a very simple prayer. I'm going to leave little gaps at the end of each line. And if you want to pray the prayer, you can pray it. Okay? And make a relationship with Jesus right now. So let's be good, I think. Could we just shut our eyes, everyone? Could everyone shut their eyes? And I'm going to pray the prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, I'm sorry for the things that I've done wrong in my life. Just to take a few minutes to ask God's forgiveness for anything in particular you need to know forgiveness about. Lord, please forgive me. I now turn from everything that I know is wrong. Thank you that you died on the cross for me. So that I could be forgiven and set free. Thank you that you offer me forgiveness. And the gift of the Holy Spirit. I now receive that gift. Please come into my life by your Holy Spirit to be with me forever. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. So look, if you prayed that prayer, please come and have a chat with Mark or me at the end of the service. We'd love to talk and pray with you. I've been a Christian 40 years this year. It's extraordinary. But I still remember the day I said yes to Jesus. I still remember the day I was baptized. And it's just, life has been a gas, you know. It's just been a ball. And I just wouldn't have given up any single second of it. So look, take Jesus at his word. He said, if you come to know Jesus, you'll know life to the full, life abundantly. It's like going down the Vallée Blanche every day. Give it a go. Thank you.
Thank you, Andrew.
Bless you.
We're drawing our service towards a close now. There is one last thing which we always do at the end of our baptismal services for those who've been baptized, and that is we recognize that they've joined a new family. Now, they'd already joined the family, but we recognise it at this point. And certainly for Danny and for Ben, we're going to just pray for them because this is the local expression of God's bigger family. Yeah, there's the other churches here, which is all in Swanage, also part of this family. But right across the world, God has brought his people together, and it's the church. We're just a local expression of that. From a geographical point of view, but we are recognizing that this is where Danny and Ben are here at this point in their lives, so we just want to acknowledge that. So do you want to come over here, guys, and I'm just going to pray for you, acknowledge that. Everyone who loves and commits their lives to Jesus is a part of this family, so we're recognizing that. So Father, thank you again for Danny and for Ben. Thank you too for Kevin, Lord. And it doesn't matter what expression of your family we're a part of, but we acknowledge that for these two, that they, as they join the family that is Emmanuel Baptist Church, we affirm them and we pray your blessing upon them. And that, Lord, we will serve them as they will serve us, but that, Lord, we'll all go on in our journey of faith to love you better and stronger every single day. So protect them and bless them again, we pray. And thank you that we've been able to share in this special moment with them, all three of these lovely folk. Continue to be with us as we fellowship and as we celebrate together. In Jesus' name, amen. So bless you and welcome you guys. The band are going to... You're going to say something? Yeah, you've got it really, haven't you?
Yeah. So let's pray for this man. Yeah. Lord, thank you so much for Kevin. Yes. Lord, what a blessing he is to us. And thank you that he's part of your family at All Saints, but actually part of the whole massive church worldwide and here in Swanage, Lord. And thank you that you've joined him to us. And Lord, I pray you plant him really deep and you plant his faith really firm. Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Okay.